Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. These words, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." And our subject this morning is the necessity of forgiveness. The necessity of forgiveness. Now these words, well really they will be the starting point for us this morning. I don't intend to expound on this particular verse. I want to speak more generally about forgiveness. But of course, these are tremendous words, words of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, part of the famous Sermon on the Mount. And this is arguably the most famous part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is teaching his disciples how to pray. And well, we all know, or many of us know these words so very well. From verse 9 onwards, "After this manner therefore pray ye," our Lord says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We always pray for the Lord's will to be done in our lives and in all that we do. And then verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." It is the Lord who provides everything for us. Everything that we have and know and enjoy in this life doesn't come by chance or by accident. It comes from God. And so we pray every day for our daily bread, our daily needs and provision. But, well, then we come to verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Debts, of course, we understand, particularly nowadays, as that which is owed to us. A debt is something that is owed to somebody. But in this verse, it speaks more of offences, of our falls, of our trespasses, of our sins. And this is what is meant here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, what this verse really implies, what comes through, is that those who follow God will be willing and able to forgive others. To forgive. It is a great duty, a great necessity for Christians, a great part of their character that they are forgiving people. Just as we ask God to forgive us, we pledge to God that we will forgive others. That is how we read it. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is so very important. Forgiveness is so very difficult at times for us as human beings. It's so difficult for us to forgive when somebody wrongs us, when somebody does something that is offensive to us. Well, we get offended. We are injured. We're very reluctant to forgive. It takes us a long time to forgive. Weeks, months, even years. And yet, the teaching of the Bible, a great biblical principle, is that we are to be those who are forgiving. Later on in this gospel, Simon Peter will ask the Lord Jesus Christ, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And he asked the Lord, "Seven times perhaps? Should I forgive him seven times?" And the Lord says unto him, "No, not seven times, but 70 times seven." What does that mean? That means that we are to forgive liberally, generously, no limit to our forgiveness. 70 times seven. A wonderful teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even if you look in this passage, If you just look down at verse 14, well, there are even stronger words concerning forgiveness. Verse 14 of chapter 6, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Well, this is very interesting. The Lord is almost setting before us a question. The Lord is saying to us, as it were, if you aren't somebody who is not willing to forgive others, well, then why should the Lord forgive you? That's the question that the Lord Jesus Christ is putting to us. If you don't want to forgive others, why should God forgive you? Now, well, forgiveness is very necessary. Why is forgiveness necessary? Well, we've already spoken about it in some way. Forgiveness is necessary because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. If we were all perfect people, there would be no need for forgiveness. There would be no need for us to forgive anybody at all because nobody would do anything wrong. But none of us are perfect. We all do things that are wrong. We are all at times selfish. We are all at times unkind, unloving. We've all told lies, even great lies. We've all been deceitful, perhaps betrayed one another's trust. We've all done things that are wrong. We are sinners, as the Bible teaches us. So forgiveness is very necessary in this world. Forgiveness is so important in our close relationships, of course, in our closest relationships between one another. We must know how to forgive. We have nowadays all these dating websites, and not that I'm endorsing these things, but you have these dating websites, and normally they try and match people up to be compatible, that they have, the same height and the same age and the same sense of humor, the same interests, the same salary, the same hobbies. And that is what they think will lead to a successful relationship. You want a successful, lasting relationship? Well, you have that, the same interests and so forth. But that's not the secret to a lasting, successful relationship. You want to know what the secret is? It's that capacity to forgive one another. That's the secret to a strong, lasting relationship. So it applies to us even in our most closest of unions. The reason behind so many breakdowns in marriages, but not just marriages, even between parents and children, the breakdown occurs because we're so unwilling to forgive one another. So unwilling to forgive. He did this, and I can't forgive him. She said that, and I can't forgive her. And so the relationship utterly breaks down. If we are to have long, lasting, successful relationships, we must have that capacity to forgive. That is the expression of true love. That's the expression of true love, to be able to forgive one another. This is the expression of God's love toward us, His capacity to forgive. We, after all, have all sinned against God. We've all sinned against God. Yes, we sin against one another, but ultimately our sins are against God. When King David committed that great sin of adultery against Bathsheba, or with Bathsheba rather, in Psalm 51, he says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." He says that to God, because he knows that above all things, he has sinned against God, who has created him, who has given him his life, who gave him all his blessings, who gave him his position as king. He has sinned against him above all other things. So our sins are against God, and we have offended him in so many ways. And by the way, just to remind you, our sins against God are not just what we do. They're not just our deeds. Our sins against God, well, it's the way that we are. Our attitude towards God. We are born rebels against God. We are by nature rebellious against Him. We don't want God's authority in our lives. And that attitude is a sin against God. To reject God. I don't want His law. I don't want His commandments. I want to be free. That is a sin against God. Undoubtedly, the longing for the things of this world, desiring the world above the things of God, putting God last, bottom of our list, that is a terrible offense to God. We have sinned most surely and most certainly in that way. But such is God's love toward us, such is God's love that He shows us a way of forgiveness. A way of forgiveness, a way back to God, and that way is Christ. That way is the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and His work. This is the gospel message, that we may know forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the crux of the gospel message, the heart of the gospel, forgiveness. I know there are many, or it seems to be, many gospels flying around nowadays in different churches, many fake gospels. Many people seem to be so confused about why Christ has come into the world. Some people think Christ has come to make their lives better, to give them a life of comfort and ease, to give them prosperity. The Lord Jesus Christ has come so that I will be rich. Perhaps people think that, or that I'll always be in good health. Christ has come so I'll never face any illness or any sickness at all. So many gospels flying around why Christ has come. Dear friends, that's not the true gospel. Those things are not the true gospel. That's not why Christ came and offered up His life. As a sacrifice? Of course not. When sacrifices were offered up in the Bible, in the Old Testament, let's just think about this for a few seconds. When a sacrifice was offered up to God, the lambs, the goats and the bullocks and the rams and so forth in the time of Moses, why were they offered up? Was it so that the nation would be prosperous? Prosperity? Was it so that the nation would have good health? No, it wasn't. The sacrifices were offered up so that the people would know forgiveness, so that there would be atonement for their sin. That was why a sacrifice was offered up. With the shedding of blood, there came remission of sins, the sending away of sins. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. And you remember what John the Baptist said when he first saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Taketh away the sins of the world. That is His great mission. That is what He has come to do. So this is the gospel. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. And that is what our relationship with Christ and with God is based on. Forgiveness. Now I have to stress this morning, because from time to time, more often than I would like, I meet people who say they're Christian, but when you speak to them about the forgiveness of sin, about being forgiven, all your trespasses and sins washed away, well, they say something like this: "Oh, I don't need to be forgiven. Yes, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I read my Bible, but I don't need forgiveness. I've never done anything wrong, really. I've never stolen from anybody. I've never killed anybody. I don't really need forgiveness." As though forgiveness is some sort of optional thing in the Christian faith. Yes, you can have forgiveness if you want to, but it's optional. Forgiveness is optional in the Christian faith. It's not optional. If you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, it is essential that you know the forgiveness of God. If you think you don't need forgiveness, well, let me put it to you, you don't really know yourself very well. You don't know yourself as well as you ought to. Just think of your life. Think of your past. Search your conscience. We were talking about this the other day in our Bible study. Think of all the things that your conscience knows about you. Your conscience records everything that you've ever done. Think of all the things that your conscience knows about you. Maybe nobody else knows, but your conscience knows everything that you have ever done and knows all the things that you've done wrong. And all those things will be open in the sight of God one day. Everything will be seen by God. God who is holy. Do you have the right idea about God? God who is holy. God who is perfectly pure and righteous and hates sin and will not allow any sin to enter into heaven. Not one sin. If you have told one lie, that's one lie too many to be allowed into heaven. Because heaven is a holy place. It's not a place for liars. If you have had just one thought of covetousness, that's one thought too many. One wicked, indecent thought, lustful thought, that's one thought too many. You'll be locked out of heaven. You'll be banished eternally from heaven. So, dear friends, each and every one of us needs forgiveness. If you desire to go to heaven and to dwell in that place, you must be able to say, I am forgiven of God. And that is so very important, so crucial. Well, how do we obtain this forgiveness? I must move on very quickly. Well, there is one thing that is absolutely essential. In order for us to be forgiven, one thing absolutely essential, and that is confession of sin. Confession of sin. Now, I'm not talking about confessing to a man or to a pastor or to a priest. No, you have to confess to God. You must come before the Lord. God is your judge. So when you confess your sin, you come before Him. You pray to the Lord. You say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. My conscience, my very conscience within me tells me that I am a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven, which is that perfect holy place. I know I deserve to be banished, to be punished. But I know that Christ was punished in my place. He was condemned on the cross instead of me. I know He took it upon Himself. So now I can be forgiven. I am free from condemnation. I am free from sin. Christ was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's taken away my sin. I know that. I believe that. Confession of sin. And that is how you come to the Lord your God. With His blood, the blood of Christ, I know I am saved. And this is how we draw near to the Lord. And this is what we must all do, each and every one of us. But let me begin to close by sharing this glorious thing with you. Perhaps the most glorious thing about the forgiveness of God. Not only are we forgiven our sins, not only are all our sins forgiven, but they are forgotten. They are forgotten when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a glorious thing. My wife gave a talk to a group of youngsters recently on the Friday meeting, and some of you youngsters will have heard this already. She was giving a talk about a servant of God who lived in Russia in the late 1800s, Dr. Badika, and how he was used of the Lord. But one thing she discovered in her research was that people in those days, if they had a criminal conviction, well, the criminal conviction was stamped on their passport. And they had to carry their passport wherever they went. If people asked for their identification, they would show them their passport and their criminal conviction would be on it. If they went to apply for a job, well, then they would show the passport and sadly their conviction would be upon it. They wouldn't be able to get a job. Their sin, their crime, would follow them wherever they went. It was part of their identity. They couldn't escape it. Maybe they had repented of it. Maybe they had changed their ways. But their crime was always with them. And you know, that's sometimes the way with men in this world. Things that we do, bad things, crimes that we have committed, people never forget them. And they follow us around wherever we go. But that's not the case with God. When we come to Christ, when we are forgiven all our sin, when we appear before God at the very end of time, well, your sins are not just forgiven, they're forgotten. God will look upon you and he will see you without spot, without any blemish. Your sins will be as far removed from you as east is from the west. It will be as though you had never, ever committed any sin at all. Because you have faith in Christ, your sins are gone. Your record is gone. Your crimes are gone. God will say to you, enter into life and joy. Enter into heaven, and that will be a glorious thing. That's the gospel, dear friends. That's the true gospel. That's far better than any prosperity or any good health. Eternal life in Christ. All our sins forgiven and forgotten. Dear friends, that must be your gospel. That must be the reason you are a Christian. You must be able to say, if somebody comes up to you, what does it mean for you to be a Christian? It means the forgiveness of sin. That is the first thing that comes to your mind. I am forgiven. I am assured of a place in heaven. Well, may the Lord bless you and help you to come to that realization. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We know the forgiveness of the Lord and we are able to forgive one another. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for the forgiveness of all our sin, for that great joy of being forgiven, that thou art the God who not only forgives, but forgets. Oh Lord, we pray that each and every one of us may come to thee in the right way, seeking the forgiveness of sin, not prosperity, not ease and comfort in this life, nothing else, but forgiveness first and foremost, that we may receive all things in Christ, eternal life, and that peace and joy that passes all understanding. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.